This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. If you've driven over Snoqualmie Pass recently, you've probably seen that big archway being built over I-90, just east of the summit. That archway is not for us. It's a wildlife overpass, a bridge made to look like nature with trees and rocks for animals to use so they can safely cross the freeway. Do animals really use bridges? And what happens when the predators figure out where the wildlife crossing is? Here to explain is the director of the I-90 Wildlife Bridges Coalition, Charlie Raines. Welcome to KUOW.
Oh, thank you much, Bill.
What kind of problems do freeways present to wildlife?
Well, we've all seen the roadkill on the side of the freeway, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are the larger animals that have accidents with cars and trucks. But there's a lot of other animals that are just not getting across the freeway, or they're small enough that people don't notice them off onto the side. But they are major barriers, and what we need to make sure we have is, especially in the Cascades, that we have a continuous forest connection from the South Cascades near Mount Rainier through the Alpine Lakes and on up into the North Cascades if you want a really healthy population of wildlife.
Why? Why is that continuous connection so healthy?
Well, some species, such as deer or elk, migrate on a seasonal basis, and so they have to move through there, and you put a freeway right in the middle of it. They're trying to get from one side to the other. Obviously, it's not very good results in many cases. But if you're going to have a healthy population, especially if you have species that are more endangered, you don't want to have two or three small populations. You want to have one connected population, better for the genetics, better for dealing with climate change, better for dealing with things like epidemics.
You mentioned deer and elk. We're also talking bears, cougars?
Yes, we are.
What else? Foxes?
Fox, wolverine, the whole suite of animals, not just the mammals we've been talking about, but salamanders and even some snakes and others that need to get from one side to the other. Most of them we don't see, most of which will actually use the underpasses, but some prefer to have to use the overpass.
I'm picturing all those animals, and now salamanders included, and it's quite a menagerie in my mind. How do you get animals to cross a freeway where you want them to?
Well, they're going to cross where they have an opportunity to cross. And so the scientist looked at this 15-mile stretch of the freeway and said, where are the most likely places where different species want to cross? Some of them is pretty obvious. It's along a creek that's already there, and you just make sure you have a large enough bridge to cover it. To go across it. In other cases, it might be a dry gully or rocky area or whatever. For different species, they are looking for different habitats. So you design the type of crossing structure for the species that you're looking for in the right places.
But you're talking about so many animals, deer, elk, cougars, frogs, salamanders, mice. How do we be sure that all those different animals actually use that bridge in that spot?
Well, not all of them will probably use that particular bridge, but through the 15 miles of the project, the biologists have studied it carefully, and they believe that the proposal is robust enough that it will provide sufficient permeability to allow wildlife to move from one side of the freeway to the other.
Okay, and after a while, do elk get used to Mama elk shows baby elk where to cross, and they get to know the bridge?
It's pretty much the right thing. Up in Banff National Park in Canada, they've had a similar type of an overpass there for more than a decade. And they found that over 3 to 4 years, the number of elk that are using the bridge rather than going across a freeway has shifted, so there's more than 90-95% are using the bridge. They're finding it safer. Yeah, and they move easily across it. As a matter of fact, we just got some recent infrared video of the Gold Creek crossing structure. Now, that's an underpass there right near Hyack, with a herd of elk moving under the freeway as semi-trucks were rushing along across the top of the freeway. That shows that it works.
Won't predators just hang out on the overpass for some easy pickings?
Well, they might, but you have to remember that if it's the elk or the deer, they're moving. They don't move across the freeway every day. They're moving to higher ground or to lower winter feeding areas. So, yeah, you might have a cougar hanging out there and get a meal at that time, but that's going to last that cougar, let's say, a week. The deer aren't going to be there the next week. He's got to follow them. That's what he does. And he or she, and they know where the best place, the hunting places are. If this is one of them, so be it. It's not really going to affect the overall population of the deer or elk.
If my timing is just right or just wrong, will my kids in the back seat watch the cougar killing elk as we drive by?
I don't think so. One, it probably will happen at night. Two, the way it's designed is the center part of the overpass is actually going to be lower than the edges so that wildlife, who are not particularly fond of lots of noise and light coming from trucks and other vehicles, will have a more secure path through there. So you're probably not going to see them. What we're trying to do is work with DOT to get some cameras up there and have a website where people can actually click on it and see what's going on that overpass.
Finally, Charlie, you are a wildlife conservationist. You don't usually work with freeway construction firms. Is there a lesson here for you in groups that are often opposed or sometimes opposed coming together?
This is actually one of the most rewarding projects I've worked on. Not only are we going to see a great project in the end, but 17 years ago we went into this thing, and the conservationists and the Department of Transportation were pretty much butting heads. The Department of Transportation said, we do highways, we don't do wildlife, we're saying you need to do it. There was a couple of years of very tense conversations between the conservation groups, the other federal agencies, the wildlife and the Forest Service, and DOT, and we finally all came together and said, look, we can improve that freeway, we can take care of the avalanche situation, and make it a much better place for wildlife. Not make it any worse, but actually make it better for wildlife, so that what you had is all these different parties coming together says, that's the kind of project we can all get behind. And in fact, we did, and that meant when we went to the legislature saw this as a priority and was willing to fund it.
You see that cooperation being harder these days?
Oh, it's much harder nowadays. I'm sorry to see the partisanship and the divisiveness in the political conversations. It makes this kind of collaboration much more difficult. And so we're missing opportunities to do projects just like the I-90 Wildlife Bridges.
Charlie Raines is director of the I-90 Wildlife Bridges Coalition. Charlie, thank you for explaining to us how it's going to work. We're all going to watch it being built. Maybe there'll be DOT cameras, as you said. Thank you for coming on.
Yep, thank you so much.
That wildlife overpass is expected to be finished by the fall of 2019. This is The Record on KUOW Seattle.